Cassette number 20, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Continuing section 2, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 833. The problem of the devas may be somewhat better understood if it is remembered that they in themselves embody the two types of energy. For instance, the solar petries are the substance of the egoic bodies and groups, and the medium of expression for the spirit aspect, for spirit manifests by means of soul. The lunar petries, who form the personal lower self, being the aggregate of the lower sheaths, are energized and used by the solar lords. These solar angels, again, are in many groups and express within their own ranks a dual energy, both positive and negative. There is the positive life of the egoic lotus, which coordinates, preserves, and actuates the petals, and there is also the energy of the petal substance itself, or the negative aspect which is swept by the positive force of the greater solar lords into living whorls or wheels, which we symbolically call petals. There is a close analogy in connection with the planetary logos and the solar logos between prana, the life force which animates the etheric body of man, and by means of that force coheres the dense physical body, and that synthesizing life force of the logos, which animates every atom on every plane of the system. Page 834. If this is meditated upon, and the fact of all our planes being the etheric and dense manifestation of the solar logos is realized, then the place played by the solar angels may become somewhat elucidated, and their relation to the planetary logos and to the solar logos may become also clearer. We must not only study them in connection with ourselves and with our effort to identify ourselves with the solar lords of the lunar petries, but must recognize also A. the solar angels of a planetary scheme, B. the solar angels of the solar system, C. the lunar lords of the scheme and system. The word lunar is here an anachronism and is technically inaccurate. The moon, or moons in any scheme, are systemic effects and are not causes. In certain planetary relationships, they are considered causes, but in connection with our solar system, they are not. Yet, also, in connection with the system, there exist cosmically certain bodies in space which have as definite an effect upon the system as the moon has upon the Earth. This is something as yet unknown and incomprehensible to metaphysicians, scientists, and astronomers. War wages cosmically as yet between the systemic lunar lords and those entities who are analogous to the solar lords on cosmic levels. Until our students extend their concept to include in their calculations the logoic astral and mental bodies, as the logos seeks to express emotion and mind on the physical plane through his physical body, a solar system, they will not progress far towards the heart of the solar mystery. Until the force of the cosmic lunar lords is sought for, the fact of there being entire constellations beyond our solar system in process of disintegration in time and space in a manner similar to the disintegration of the moon will not be known, nor the effects of this traced. Page 835. Eventually, our solar system will pass into a similar state. The true mystery of evil lies here, and the true reality of the war in heaven must here be sought. Footnote: Problem of Evil. The following quotation is from a trance writing given through Dr. Anna Kingsford. It runs thus: You have demanded also the origin of evil. This is a great subject, and we should have withheld it from you longer, but that it seems to us now that you are in need of it. Understand then that evil is the result of creation, for creation is the result of the projection of spirit into matter, and with this projection came the first germ of evil. We would have you know that there is no such thing as a purely spiritual evil, but evil is the result of the materialization of spirit. If you examine carefully all we have said to you concerning the various forms of evil, you will see that every one is the result of the limitation of the power to perceive that the whole universe is but the larger self. It is then true that God created evil, but yet it is true that God is spirit, and being spirit is incapable of evil. Evil is then purely and solely the result of the materialization of God. This is a great mystery. We can but indicate it tonight. God is perception itself. God is universal percipience. God is that which sees and that which is seen. If we could see all, hear all, touch all, and so forth, there would be no evil, for evil comes of the limitation of perception. Such limitation was necessary if God was to produce aught other than God. Aught other than God must be less than God. Without evil, therefore, God would have remained alone. All things are God according to the measure of the Spirit in them. That is to say, a perfected humanity will be a perfect vehicle of the divine Spirit. See the Merkabah of Ezekiel, first chapter. Great is our indebtedness to the seers who throw out for us flashes of light on the darkness and mystery of human life, where the struggling spirit within is so often buried in the depths of this mysterious chaos, thereby making visible the darkness, so that we are enabled to see a few steps of the way ahead, thus encouraging us to press forward with renewed assurance that the mists and clouds will be dispelled, and we shall in due time enter the fullness of the divine presence. Taken from the Theosophist, volume 29, page 50. Return to text. Similarly, it must be remembered that planetary schemes pass into obscuration and die out through the withdrawal, in all cases, of the positive life and energy and of the electric fire, which is the animating principle of every system, scheme, globe, kingdom in nature, and human unit. This produces again, in every case, the dying out of the solar radiance, or of the light produced by the commingling of the negative and positive energy. All that is left in every case, again, is the habitual energy of the substance upon which and through which the positive energy has had such a remarkable effect. Page 836. This negative type of force gradually dissipates or disperses itself and seeks the central reservoir of energy. The spheroidal form is thus disintegrated. This can be seen working out now in the case of the moon, and the same rule holds good for all bodies. We might word it otherwise. The solar devas, or radiant energy, return to the central heart or to the source which breathed them out. This leaves the lesser deva substance dependent upon its own internal heat, as it involves the withdrawal of that which built substance into form. This deva substance is of many kinds, and perhaps the consequent procedure can be more clearly understood if we say that as the form breaks up, the lesser builders and devas return to their group soul. Certain of them, those who form the bodies of the fourth kingdom in nature, and who are therefore the highest kind of substance through which consciousness can manifest in the three worlds, are on the road towards individualization. They are nearer the human stage than the substance of the three other kingdoms. They occupy a place in the deva evolution analogous to that which a man holds in the human kingdom. Note that I say kingdom, not evolution. Who is nearing the path? The goal for the devas, below the rank of solar petries, is individualization, and their objective is to become men in some future cycle. The goal for a man is initiation, or to become a conscious Daihan Chohan, and in some distant cycle to do for the humanity of that age what the solar petries have done for him, and make their self-conscious expression a possibility. The goal for a solar petri is, as said earlier, to become a logoic ray. Footnote: the goal for the petris, the lunar petris, are on a level with the lower principles. A. They create our lower principles. B. They possess creative fire but not divine fire. C. They evolve the human form. D. They will eventually become men. The higher principles are latent in the animals. A. The solar petries embody the fifth principle. B. They give consciousness to man. C. They furnish the vehicle for the incarnating monad, forming the egoic body. D. They develop the human type. from The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2. Return to text. Page 837. To return to the matter which we were considering, just as the moon is a deterrent or malefic force where the earth is concerned and productive of evil influences, so all such disintegrating bodies are equally destructive. Such bodies exist within the solar ring pass knot, unrecognized as yet, and disintegrating constellations, of which there are many in the universe, unknown and unrecognized by scientists, have an equally malefic effect upon our system and upon all that passes into their sphere of influence. Footnote: Unseen planets. Not all of the intra-mercurial planets, nor yet those in the orbit of Neptune, are yet discovered, although they are strongly suspected. We know that such exist and where they exist, and that there are innumerable planets burnt out, they say, in obscuration, we say, planets in formation and not yet luminous, etc. When so attached, the tassimeter will afford the possibility not only to measure the heat of the remotest of visible stars, but to detect by their invisible radiations stars that are unseen and otherwise undetectable, hence planets also. The discoverer, an FTS, a good deal protected by M, thinks that if at any point in a blank space of heavens, a space that appears blank even though through a telescope of the highest power, the tassimeter indicates an accession of temperature and does so invariably. This will be a regular proof that the instrument is in range with the stellar body, either non-luminous or so distant as to be beyond the reach of telescopic vision. His tassimeter, he says, is affected by a wider range of etheric undulations than the eye can take cognizance of. Science will hear sounds from certain planets before she sees them. This is a prophecy. From Mahatma Letters to A.P. Sinnett, page 169. Return to text. There is one such constellation, situated between the Lesser Dipper and our system, and another, interrelated with the Pleiades and our system, which still have a profound effect upon the physical body of the solar locus. The above paragraph is specifically worded thus because the effects are felt in the lowest sheath of all, and are responsible for much that is ignorantly termed black magic. These two constellations have run their cycles and are dissolving. Some of their life force and energy has been transferred to our solar system, just as the lunar life force was transferred to our Earth, and this it is that is the cause of much cyclic evil. Page 838. The process of decay and the evil emanations induced still have power to influence forms which are responsive to what was for them an earlier vibration. The substance of these forms is magnetically linked with the decaying body, much as the etheric double is connected with its dense sheath, and effects are therefore manifested. Purificatory fire is the only cure for this magnetic corruption, and this is being utilized freely by the planetary logoi in their schemes and by the solar logos in the system. Purificatory fire. Quote, the fire burned low. A dull red glow slumbered within the heart of Mother. Its warmth was scarcely felt. The first and second of the inner lines throbbed with the burning, but the rest were cold. The sons of God looked down from the innermost center. They looked, then turned away their gaze and thoughts to other spheres. Their hour had not yet come. The elemental fires had not prepared the altar for the Lord's. The sacrificial fire waited in its high place, and the steady glow beneath increased. The fire burned clearer, and the first and second slowly lighted up. Their glow became a line of brilliant fire, yet the five remained untouched. The sons of God again looked down. For one brief second they thought upon the Mother, and as they thought, the third caught fire. Swiftly they looked away, for the form as yet relayed to them no call. The heat was latent, and no outer warmth ascended to their place. The eons passed, the glow increased, the spheres took form but dissipated rapidly, lacking coherent force. They passed. They came again. Action incessant, noise and fire and smoldering heat characterized their cycles. But the Lars in their high heaven spurned this elemental work and gazed within themselves. They meditated. The glow became a steady burning, and tiny flames were seen. The first, the second, and the third became three lines of fire, and one triangle was consummated. Yet the four are seen quiescent and respond not to the heat. Thus do the cycles and the elemental lives pass and repass, and their work continues. Page 839. The forms are set, yet brief their span. They move not, yet they pass. The hour has come for the great awakening. They pass no longer down, but mount. This is the interlude for which the Lars in their high place have waited. They may not enter yet the forms prepared, but feel their hour approaching. They meditate anew, and for a minute gaze upon the myriad threefold fires until the fourth responds. The 60 seconds passed in dynamic concentration produce forms of triple kind, three sets of forms, and myriads in the three. The heart of Mother contracts and expands with these 60 fiery breaths. The lines become allied and cubes are formed, shielding the inner fire. The altar is prepared and four square stands. The altar glows red at the center and warm without. The altar flames. Its heat mounts up, yet it burns not nor is consumed. Its heat, which has no flame, reaches a higher sphere. The sons of God, for a brief period, warm themselves, yet approach not nearer to it until the passing of another cycle. They await the hour of sacrifice. The solar lords, taking the word as sounded by the sons of God, arise in the fierceness of their solar life and approach the altar. The four lines glow and burn. The sun applies a ray. The solar lords pass it through their substance and again approach the altar. The fifth line awakens and becomes a glowing point, and then a dull red line, measuring the distance twixt the altar and the one who watches. The fivefold fire, dynamic, begins to flicker and to burn. It lights not yet without, it simply glows. The eons pass away, the cycles come and go. Steadily the solar lords sacrifice themselves. They are the fire upon the altar. The fourth provides the fuel. The sons of God still watch. The work nears its final consummation. The eternal Lars in their high place call each to each, and four take up the cry. The fire is burning. Does the heat suffice? Two answer to each other. The fire is burning, the altar is well nigh destroyed. What happens next? Add to the fire with fuel from heaven. Breathe on the blazing fire and fan its flame to utter fierceness. Page 840. Thus the command goes out from one who watches, silent hitherto, through countless aeons. They send forth breath. Something prevents the passage of the breath. They call for aid. One makes his appearance who has not yet been seen. He lifts his hand. The one, the two, the three, the four, and five merge into one and mingle with the sixth. The flame mounts up, responding to the breath. The final disappearance of the cube is needed, and then the work stands forth. Close quote. From the Archives of the Lodge. C. The names of the egoic lotuses. We might consider briefly the work of forming the egoic lotus on its own plane. This is as the result of the work of the Agni Shvatas after its segregation in space and the formation of its ring pass knot. We have touched upon the remotest and earliest stages. One point we have not yet emphasized, but which is of interest to the thoughtful student. This is the fact of the difference existing between the egoic bodies owing to their varying stages of development. For instance, up till the middle of the Atlantean root race, when the door of individualization was closed, egos were to be seen at many differing stages, from the newly organized buds representing freshly individualized men to the highly developed causal bodies of the different disciples and initiates who were superintending the evolution of the race. Now the egoic bodies might be grouped from the evolutionary standpoint as follows. On the third subplane of the mental plane, bud egos, our planetary scheme being at the midway point in its evolution, there are therefore no unopened buds, strictly speaking. All the egoic lotuses have at least one petal open. All the lotuses are organized, but there are vast differences among those of small development showing forth in the brilliancy of the permanent atoms and in the stage of petal unfoldment. Page 841. Brahmic lotuses, in which the first or knowledge petal is fully unfolded. They are so called as they represent on the physical plane the fully active intelligent unity, the man of small mental development, the lowest type of workers, agriculturists, and peasants on every continent. They are also called third-class creators, as they express themselves only through the act of physical creation on the physical plane, and their function is largely to provide vehicles for those of their own group. The lotuses of Brahman, in which the second petal is showing signs of opening and the second aspect in its lowest manifestation is showing signs of demonstration. They stand as representing certain groups of egos from certain planetary schemes, notably Jupiter and Venus, who are a grade higher than the class above, but which have as yet a long way to go. They are called second-class creators, for though they demonstrate on the physical plane in the act of physical creation, yet they are more swayed by love than by animal instinct, as in the first case. They are to be found incarnating at this time in the Orient, particularly in India and in the Latin countries, and just lately in America. Primary lotuses. These are a group of special interest brought in under the influence of the Lord of the Fifth Ray, and therefore fundamentally allied to the energy which is the special manifestation in this system and the basis of all achievement, that is, Manas. They were quiescent during the Atlantean root race, but have come in during the fourth and fifth sub-races of this root race. They are a group a good deal more advanced than the earlier classes, but need much to develop the second petal. With them, the first and the third petals in the first circle are opening, but the middle petal is yet shut. The middle tier also shows no signs of vitality. Owing to conditions in their emanating planet, their development has been one-sided, and hence their entering on a wave of energy into this scheme in order to round themselves out, as it is called. Page 842. They may be seen in the purely intellectual, selfish, scientific type. They are responsible for much of the advanced application of mechanical science to the needs of men, and for the introduction of certain types of machinery. They work largely in connection with the energy of the mineral kingdom. By this, it must be inferred that the solar lords who embody this type are linked with a group of lunar lords who respond magnetically to the devas of the mineral kingdom. Their work for the race has at present a deleterious effect, but when the second petal is opened, the wonders then to be achieved by them in loving service along their own particular line will be one of the factors which will regenerate the fourth kingdom. They will achieve emancipation in the fifth round, four-fifths of them passing onto the path and one-fifth set back for another cycle. Lotuses of passion or desire. They are so called because their fundamental nature is embodied love in some one or other form. The bulk of the monads of love are among this large group, and they are to be seen incarnating in the bulk of the well-to-do, kindly people of the world. They are divided into five groups, of whom three individualized upon this planet, and two were the very latest to individualize upon the moon chain. They have two petals unfolded, and the third is, for them at this time, the object of their attention. Many may succeed in unfolding it before the seventh root race of this round, but the bulk of them will unfold it in the second root race of the next round, and will stand ready before the close of the round to pass on to the probationary path, having unfolded one tier of petals and organized the second. All these lotuses of the first circle are divided into groups, but interplay goes on between them. Energy in any center produces reflex energy in another. Page 843. It must be remembered that in closing the door in Atlantean times to the animal kingdom and the consequent temporary cessation of the forming of any more bud lotuses, the effect was dual, in directions other than the human or the animal. It was the result of the internal decision on the part of the planetary logos to turn his attention away from the act of creation on the systemic mental plane to the work of progressive evolution. This caused a cessation of certain types of activity, producing a quiescence in certain of his centers and an increased activity in others. It also had an effect upon the solar angels and consequently upon the heart of the solar system from whence they are drawn. Floods of energy or streams of force from the heart of the sun, the subjective sun, were arrested and directed elsewhere, while the Petries, already active, began to center their attention upon the work begun, and temporarily new beginnings were out of order. It must not be forgotten here that the work of the solar Petries, from their point of view, is not primarily the evolution of man, but is the process of their own development within the plan of the solar logos. The evolution of the human race is, for them, but a method. Perfected men are in the councils of the planetary logos of their particular ray. The solar Petries are in the council of the solar logos. Footnote: all these will become solar logoi of varying grades. Return to text. It might be of value here if we temporarily stopped our consideration of the egoic groups and briefly tabulated the evolutions, remembering that in this tabulation the planes of differentiation alone are concerned. On the plane of the unmanifest or of the subjective, only unity is known. It must again be remembered that the term unmanifest is one of relative importance only, and concerns man's apprehension of all that is. To the solar logos, the planes of the unmanifest are objective. Man has not as yet achieved etheric vision, and the etheric subplanes are to him as yet unmanifest. The solar logos has cosmic etheric vision fully developed, and because he is on the cosmic path, all is known and fully revealed to him within the solar system. Page 844 is a tabulation numbered 6. It has two columns. First column is entitled Lives. The second column is entitled Goal. 1. Planetary Logoi, the major 3. Cosmic Liberation, the final cosmic initiations. 2. The minor 4 planetary logoi, cosmic initiation or the first 4 initiations. 3. The informing lives of a planetary globe, manus of a cosmic chain, not a seed manu, but a periodical manu of lesser degree. This involves an unrevealable mystery connected with certain hierarchies of color. 4. The informing life of a kingdom in nature, transference in one of 3 directions, A, to the line of the solar Petries, B, to Sirius as a karmic adjuster, C, to the solar system of the next order to work in connection with the planetary logos of his own line as ruler of a kingdom or life wave in the system and not just in a scheme. 5. The solar Petries, the highest 3 groups will become major planetary logoi, the lower 4 groups will become minor planetary logoi. 6. The human evolution, to become the solar Petries of another cycle, to follow any of the paths earlier enumerated, those who become solar Petries, being the bulk of humanity, return to Sirius to be breathed out again into activity. 7. The lunar Petries, to become men, they will, in their higher grades, pass directly into the animal evolution of the next cycle, and so eventually individualize. Their 3 higher grades will become animal men, and the lower 4 will contribute to the quaternic forms of the men of the next creation. 8. The animal evolution, human kingdom. 9. The vegetable evolution, the animal kingdom. 10. The mineral evolution, the vegetable kingdom. 11. The four higher grades of lesser builders on all planes. They will form the manifested double or form of that mysterious third evolution of the next system, that is, the etheric body of the planetary entity. This mysterious life is as yet an unfathomable mystery, and one which will not be revealed till the final one of the triplicity of solar systems of our solar logos. 12. The three lower grades of the lesser builders. The physical body in its densest form of the planetary entity. Page 845. It might here be noted that the planetary entity is the sum total of all the elemental lives of the lesser builders functioning as or forming the substance of any particular globe in physical objectivity. The mystery of the whole subject lies hidden in three things. First, the fact that our three planes, physical, astral, and mental, form the dense body of the solar logos, and are therefore not considered as forming principles. The second fact is that the lesser lives, or the elemental essence, are the refuse of an earlier system, and react to inherent impulses so powerfully that it was only possible to control them through the dynamic will of the logos, consciously applied. The word refuse must be interpreted analogically, and as is understood when it is said that man gathers to himself in each fresh incarnation matter to form his dense physical body which is tinged with the earlier vibrations of preceding incarnations. These lives have been gradually drawn in during the entire Mahamanvantara as it became safe and possible to control and bend them to the will of the greater builders. Much of the earlier energy substance in systemic construction has been passed on into that force matter which we call that of the lunar petries, and its place has gradually been taken by this type of energy, gathered in from the greater sphere in which our logos has place. The 12 evolutions are, after all, but the 12 types of energy, manifesting ever in three groups of forces, and again as one group when synthesized during the process of manifestation. They are fourfold in interaction, and have a systemic ebb and flow about which little is known. Third, the fact of the coming into incarnation of the informing life of this low-grade substance, who is an entity from a point in the heavens which may not be mentioned. He embodies influences of a manasic nature, but manas at its very lowest vibration. Page 846. Perhaps some idea of this may be gathered if it is stated that there is a resemblance between this vibration, or this energizing life, and the basic vibration of the solar system preceding this one. We must remember that our basic vibration was the result of the evolutionary process of the entire earlier system. This entity has the same analogous relation to the Deva evolution as the mysterious bridges which baffle scientists and which are found between the vegetable and the animal kingdom, and the mineral and the vegetable. They are neither the one nor the other. On a large scale, this life, or the informing entity of the lower life of the physical plane of the solar system, is neither a full exponent of the subconscious life of the earlier system, nor of the elemental life of this. Only in the next system will be seen the manifestation of a form of consciousness of a type at present inconceivable to man. Esoterically, he is stated to have neither sight nor hearing. He is neither Deva nor human, in essence. He is occultly blind, utterly unaware. He is capable only of movement, and resembles the fetus in the womb, that which is coming to the birth only the next greater cycle will reveal. The mystery of the moon, or of the divine lunatic, is connected somewhat with the revelation, through the premature compassion of our planetary logos, of the life of this nature informing the dense globe of the moon chain. On his high level, pity awoke in the heart of the planetary logos for certain involutionary existences within the moon chain, and, like the Buddha on a lesser scale and at a much later date, compassionate zeal brought the karmic results with which we are still concerned. The beast must be driven back for his own good to run his cycle, hidden in his den and confined within safe limits until the dawning of a new system brings him conscious opportunity. Page 847. More we may not say. It must be remembered that the mysteries of existence are as yet but little cognized by man. In cases where profound mysteries lie, man is often totally unaware of it, and frequently man remains blind and deaf where no mystery is, but only revelation for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. When man has penetrated to those secrets which lie behind the lower kingdoms in nature, when he has solved the problem of the constitution of the interior of the earth, and has from there worked his way back to knowledge of the working of the involutionary path and the lies which tread that path, then and then only will he begin to realize the strangeness of that which lies beyond his ken. One further hint may be given which will serve to throw a beam of light upon the problem for those who are ready, and will add to the confusion of the non-intuitive. From the standpoint of the one about whom naught may be said, to whom our solar system is but a center, which center being one of the three truths revealed at the seventh initiation. A. System 1 was characterized by the organization of a center, and the mysterious life we have been speaking about was produced by the lowest vibration of the center. B. System 2 is characterized by the activity in three dimensions of this center and the evolution of three types of consciousness, Deva, human, and subhuman, in all their many grades and hierarchies. It is the period of the balancing of the forces in the center. C. System 3 will be characterized by the fourth dimensional activity of the center, and the 12 types of evolution will become four types of force. Page 848. This is next to impossible for man to understand and will seem inexplicable, but this hint is imparted in order that man may realize the interdependence of the various systems and the place they hold in a greater scheme. The intent is not to give the student uncorrelated facts of no apparent use to him. Without the premise of our position within a vaster scheme, man's deductions will remain inaccurate. We will now proceed with our enumeration of the groups of egos according to their characteristics, but it might be wise to deal first with a problem which may be in some minds and see if it is not capable of solution. Two problems come before the mind of the thoughtful student. One concerns the position, in connection with any particular planetary scheme, of those vast groups of egos which are embodied by lives emanating from any one of the seven rays and associated with any of the various schemes. The other deals with the effect produced by the coming in of egos on the mental plane, which are not bud egos, but are possibly very fully developed, such as disciples and initiates. These thoughts may be clarified if certain statements are made relating to the mental plane, and which will serve as indications as to the direction in which the solution of these problems may be sought. The mental plane is, as H.P.B. has pointed out, the vastest of all the planes with which we are concerned. It is the key plane of the solar system. It is the pivotal plane upon which the great wheel turns. It is the meeting place of the three lines of evolution, and has been for this reason esoterically termed the council chamber of the three divinities. On this plane, the three persons of the Logoic Trinity meet in united work. Below, two persons may be seen associated. Above, another duality functions, but only on this plane do the three make an at-one-ment. Page 849. All the logoi of the differing schemes are expressing themselves upon this plane. There are certain schemes in the system which find their lowest manifestation on this plane and have no physical body, such as the Earth and the other dense planets. They exist through the medium of gaseous matter, and their spheres of manifestation are simply composed of the four cosmic ethers and the cosmic gaseous. But all the great lives of the solar system do possess bodies of our systemic mental matter, and therefore on that plane communication between all these entities becomes a possibility. This fact is the basis of occult realization and the true ground for the at-one-ment. Matter of the abstract levels of the mental plane enters into the composition of the vehicles for all these greater existences, and through the medium of this energized substance, each can get en rapport with each, no matter what their individual goal of attainment may be. The units, therefore, in their bodies can equally get in touch with all other egos and groups once they have achieved the consciousness of the mental plane, causal consciousness, and know the varying group keys, the group tones and colors. It will consequently be apparent to the careful student that in this fact lies the true relationship between the various groups of egos, no matter what degree of evolution or what ray and in which scheme they may be. The basic truth here involved may be better grasped if the following occult phrases are studied. Within the hall of ignorance, karma manas rules. The man, weighed down by much misplaced desire, seeks for the object of his heart's attention within the murky halls of densest maya. He finds it there, but dies ere garnering all the longed-for fruit. The serpent stings him, and the joy desired recedes from out his grasp. All seeking thus the selfish fruits of karma must each despise each other. Hence strife and greed, ill will and hatred, death and retribution, karmic invocation, and the thunderbolt of vengeance characterize this hall. Page 850. Within the hall of learning, intellect rules and seeks to guide. Desire of a higher kind, the fruit of manas and its use, supplants the lower karmic urge. Man weighs and balances, and in the twilight halls of intellection, seeks for the fruit of knowledge. He finds it, but to realize that knowledge is not all. He dies upon the open field of knowledge, hearing a cry beat on his dying ears. Know that the knower greater is than knowledge. The one who seeks is greater than the sought. Within the hall of wisdom, the spirit rules. The one within the lesser ones assumes supreme control. Death is not known within these halls, for its two great gates are passed. Discord and strife both disappear, and only harmony is seen. The knowers see themselves as one. They recognize the field wherein knowledge grows as Brahmic dissonance and differentiation. Knowledge they know as method, an instrument of purpose utilized by all, and just a germ of eventual recognition. Within this hall, union of each with each, blending of one and all, and unity of action, goal, and skill marks every high endeavor. If these words are pondered on, it will be realized that true union exists in the realization that the greater life ever includes the lesser, and that each expansion of consciousness brings man closer to this realized oneness. Therefore, if one might venture to express an abstraction and a state of consciousness in terms of time and space, and through the limitation of language, it might be stated that on egoic levels, or on the three higher subplanes of the mental plane, there exists a channel of communication, based on similarity of vibration and oneness of endeavor, between every one of the planetary schemes within the solar ring past knot. Here and here alone, as regards the three worlds and the human kingdom, becomes possible the establishing of egoic relationships and the transmission of thought substance between A, units and egoic groups, B, groups and other groups, C, greater groups with still greater or with lesser ones, D, egos in one planetary scheme with those in another. Page 851. The Ahi, the greater builders, who are the lords working out the will of the solar logos, mainly use two planes for communication with each other and with their cohorts. First, the second plane, where they communicate by means of a spiritual medium incomprehensible to man at present. Second, the mental plane, where they communicate with all lesser lives by means of a type of mental telepathy. Footnote. Ahi, from a sensa word meaning serpents, these are the dragons of wisdom. See Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, pages 55, 69, and 70. Return to text. End of side 1, cassette number 20, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 851. Continued on side 2. Side 2, cassette number 20, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 851. The coming in of advanced egos from the inner round, or from other planetary schemes, or from subtler spheres where they have been in pralaya awaiting opportunity, is produced in a triple manner and is the result of a triple activity. It is caused by an understanding between the planetary logos of a scheme and a brother planetary logos, whereby an exchange is effected. The student must here think in terms of force and energy, of magnetic interaction, and the conscious transmission of energy out of the body of the planetary logos via the centers, or a center, into the body of another planetary logos. The cause here is the will or purpose, the object is sensation, and the method is force transference. Exactly the same understanding lies back of the coming in of egos from the inner round, only this time the energy is sent forth by certain existences working in connection with any planetary logos who are the custodians of the inner circle. This touches upon a mystery and deals with the coming in of high egos, of avatars, of Buddhas, of masters, of initiates, and of disciples, and of all who have to wait for group and not individual urge for the fulfillment of cyclic karma on a large scale, and whose wheels are controlled by cosmic forces and not by purely systemic forces. Page 852. Another factor might be termed the karmic results of seeds sown in days long past and hidden in the mysteries of the earlier system, scheme, or chain, as the case may be. All these three groups of manifestation follow karmic impulse, and this impulse it is which controls the time period and method of the appearance in any group of planetary egos of newly born lotus buds or of lotuses which are termed mystically transplanted. These latter are probably of a high degree of unfoldment. This is possible in individual cases and in the case of entire groups. A third factor has to do with the transference of egos or lotuses from one sphere of activity to another, and this necessarily produces conditions calling for the appearance of similar centers to take their place. Energy transmitted must be supplied from elsewhere, and this is another predisposing factor for the appearance of egoic lotuses in any scheme. The law of the conservation of force holds good on any plane. This whole question of the transference of egoic lotuses from any one scheme to another, or from chain to chain on the mental plane, is one of very real intricacy and cannot be elucidated to the unpledged disciple. Only these general indications are in any way possible. It must also be remembered in connection with our planet that egos appear in those groups whose lotuses are not produced as the result of the law of attraction working between the animal kingdom of the globe and the higher triads, but which are egos who have individualized elsewhere and who therefore come in with their petals already organized and perhaps with several petals unfolded. Page 853. This has necessarily a profound effect both upon the groups in which they appear and upon the type of man who will make his appearance subsequently in physical plane incarnation. This is touched upon in the Secret Doctrine when the question of the early teachers and divine kings who occupied the ill-favored bodies of the early humanity is broached. Footnote. C.W. Leadbeater had a dim apprehension of this idea when he referred to those boatloads of egos from the moon chain. He has, of course, materialized the idea far too much. If the same fundamental idea is expressed in terms of force and of the appearance of force centers within the Earth chain, which force centers are the result of energy emanating from an earlier chain and producing whorls in the ether or substance of the mental plane, then the true significance may be more easily grasped. Return to text. To continue with our consideration of egoic groups, it might be briefly stated that the egoic groups in connection with our planet may be roughly grouped according to the stage of lotus organization as follows. A. Egos who were produced through the individualization process in Lemurian days. They are the true Earth humanity, along with the second group. B. Egos who have individualized during the Atlantean root race until the door was shut. C. Egos who have come in from the moon chain and who are much more evolved than the Earth humanity. D. Egos who have been swept in since Atlantean days to take the place of those egos who have achieved liberation and whose causal bodies have disappeared or whose lotuses have died out, leaving a vacuum in force substance which must be supplied and filled. They usually come in from one of two schemes. One, from the scheme embodied by the polar opposite of our planetary logos. Two, from that scheme which is allied with these two in forming a systemic triangle. Page 854. These cases are necessarily rare at present, but will become more frequent as more and more of the human race take the fourth initiation. E. Certain rare egos or lotuses from schemes not enumerated in the above triplicity. They are usually only brought in so that they may perfect certain developments in their own nature, to carry out experimental work in connection with the Deva Kingdom, or to produce certain group results desired by the planetary logos. They frequently do not descend into dense physical incarnation, but work primarily on mental and astral levels, returning to their own spheres eventually for the final stages of liberation. All these lotuses in their myriad differentiations have specific effects upon each other on mental levels, and these effects are as yet utterly unrealized by man. Nevertheless, they are the basis of the true psychology and the grounds of all true activity. The student would do well to ponder upon the effect any advanced ego would be likely to have upon A. other egos in his group, B. the solar petries who are the substance of the group, C. the lunar petries who are linked with the solar petries through the permanent atoms. We have enumerated above certain classifications of groups of egos to be found on the causal levels of the mental plane, so as to give students some idea of the vastness of the subject and the complexity of the problem. It must be remembered that on the third subplane of the mental plane, there is no individual separation such as we find when in physical manifestation, but nevertheless group separation is to be seen. These groups are far too many to enumerate in detail. We have outlined and named five of the larger groups as catalogued under one scheme of tabulation in the Hall of Records. Page 855. Other methods of enumeration exist, and even under the one here used, these five groups are each subdivided into 10 groups, and these again are broken up into lesser units, all of them being known and portrayed under certain symbols. When we come to the second subplane of the mental plane, the plane whereon the egoic bodies of advanced humanity, of disciples and of initiates are found, the method of grouping will be according to A. ray, B. subray, C. department, whether under the Manu, the Mahachohan, or the Bodhisattva on our Earth scheme, or their analogies on other schemes. D. The Master's group. These egoic lotuses are all organized and have a number of petals unfolded, while some are in the final stages of development. They have also been grouped under the following three heads: lotuses of revelation, those in which the jewel is just about to be revealed; lotuses with perfume, those whose occult smell or aroma is permeating their environment. They are those egos who have not yet completely unfolded the final tier of petals, but whose lives are of magnetic force in the three worlds, and whose careers are distinguished by altruistic service. radiant lotuses, or those whose light is beginning to shine forth as lights in a dark place. They are grouped also according to primary color, to subsidiary coloring, according to key or tone, and one tabulation is entirely numerical. It might be of interest to the student if we here pointed out that in the Hall of Records, in connection with the human egos, certain of the records under symbological terminology keep a minute account of the following facts concerning each unit. The lunar record. This deals with all the lower vehicles and forms employed by the human monads and concerns itself with A. their rate of vibration, B. their type, C. their key number, D. the particular group of lunar lords who are concerned with those bodies, E. the detailed history of the elemental lives who construct the bodies. Page 856. This information is employed by the karmic official responsible for the production of a new set of vehicles at each incarnation in order to assist the working out of karma. The history of the lunar bodies is stored up in the permanent atoms. The solar record. This deals with the more permanent egoic vehicle and concerns itself with A. the rate of vibration, B. the history of the petal unfoldment, C. the history of any particular group of solar angels concerned with the formation of the lotus, D. the activity of the deva substance out of which the lotus is constructed, E. group relationships. This information is used by the master who has made himself responsible for the stimulation and the growth of any particular series of egos, and also by advanced egos who are consciously working with their group. The consciousness record. This concerns the response of the indwelling entity to its surroundings. It deals with the utilization of knowledge by the knower and is in many ways the most intricate and the most lengthy of the records. Page 857. These records are mostly used by the Lord of the World and his pupils to ascertain information in connection with the planetary centers. They are arranged in such a way that the entire record of any group, however vast and extensive, is embodied in 7 sheets of symbols, each containing 49 symbols. These sheets are changed and corrected once every 7 years and are precipitated on astral matter by an effort of will by the Chohan responsible for the particular group involved. D. The petals and the etheric centers. It remains now to point out the close connection between the unfoldment of the petals in the egoic lotuses and the etheric centers in man. It is through the centers that psychic energy flows. Students should carefully bear in mind the 2 following facts. First, the etheric body is vitalized, as we know, by prana. Pranic energy is the stimulator of animal activity and of physical plane development. Its effect is primarily upon the atoms of the physical body, and it has a triple effect upon the substance of the physical body. A. It preserves the animal health of the body. B. It constructs and builds in the body, through its energy and force currents, what is needed to replace the daily wear and tear. C. It is the medium whereby man comes into physical touch with his brother man. Physical magnetism is largely, even if not wholly, dependent upon prana. The etheric centers are the force vortices formed in etheric matter by astral impulse, transmitted via the astral centers, page 858. These astral centers, in their turn, are the transmitters of still higher energy, and thus the statement is technically true that the etheric centers are the source of man's psychic energy and are therefore affected by the unfoldment of the petals. Every petal is, in its turn, a type of force center, and the energy emanating from it affects the etheric centers and produces every type of psychic energy of the true kind. The energy flowing from the ego is but little felt in the early stages of development. Man follows his allotted path through animal and racial instinct and can be safely left to the stimulation emanating from his group centers and to the ordinary driving force inherent in form and to the earlier life waves. It is only when he has reached a comparatively advanced stage in comparison with that of animal man that egoic or psychic force pours through his centers in such a way as to produce results in consciousness. Of these he will eventually become profoundly aware within his physical brain. I do not here refer to the ordinary animal psychism displayed by the higher animals and found among certain of the post-Lemurian races. This is a type of consciousness inherent in the atoms and is a constituent part of the soul of the world. It is unconscious and uncontrolled and has no part in this teaching. I refer to the conscious psychism which is displayed by advanced humanity, by disciples and initiates of all grades. This kind is the result of the pouring in of egoic energy through the etheric centers, mainly through five of them, in such a way that the consciousness of the physical brain becomes aware of it and also aware of A, its purpose, B, its technique, C, the effects produced within the lower self of the man himself and also upon others, D, his ability to employ it or not as he may desire. It is under his control. Page 859. The centers with which the student is concerned are, as we know, four in number. A, the head, B, the heart, C, the throat, D, the base of the spine. These are the only ones which should receive consideration. His work is to transfer the force or energy out of the two lower, the spinal and the solar plexus, into the three higher. It is presumed that he has already transferred, or is in process of transferring, the energy of the generative organs into the center of desire, the solar plexus, with the aim in view of guiding it still higher to the throat center. The splenic center, being the vehicle of prana, is specially developed under evolutionary law, and its energy is not transferred to another center, but is consciously diffused. When its correspondence in the head center is awakened, this becomes the organ of occult healing. Through it, the healer, by an act of will, absorbs prana and vitality from the ethers, and then breathes it out again upon the object to be healed by an act of compassionate healing. In connection with the etheric centers, we should note the fact that the major head center is twofold in structure and consists of a lotus of 96 petals between the eyebrows and of a 12-petal lotus at the top of the head, with 96 petals in the subsidiary whorl. The significance of these figures is profound. In every case, the figure 12 is met with showing a definite relation to the basic psychic lotuses on egoic levels. 12 multiplied by 8 stands for the 12 petals in each case, while in the figure 8 lies hidden the idea of duality. A, the 4 of the quaternary, B, the 4 of the egoic auric egg, the three aspects and the ring plus knot. Page 860. We must note also that the idea of 12 in connection with the centers is found in three of them, A, the higher head center, B, the secondary head center, C, the heart center. If the student studies this condition and links up the idea of the three tiers of petals in the 12-petaled lotus, he may find illumination. More it is not possible to give at this stage. It is only when the etheric centers, the two head centers and the heart center, are fully active with their 12 petals completely unfolded that the central circle of petals in the egoic lotus, the fourth or inner circle, unfolds. The significance of the four circles in the egoic lotus and the eight circles of 12 petals each in the etheric lotuses on the mental plane is of great importance. The centers with which man has to deal are necessarily five at this stage, owing to the following facts, which must be studied if a man desires to awaken his centers according to plan, and if he wishes safely to follow along the line of the true psychic unfoldment. The fact that the energy starts from the fifth plane, the mental, where man is concerned. The fact that it is through the agency of the fifth principle that man can consciously work at his own unfoldment. The fact that the path of evolution is for man a fivefold one, covering the five planes of human unfoldment, and is divided into five stages as regards the ego. The fact that although this is the second solar system from the standpoint of the egoic cycles of the Logos, or his second major egoic cycle, yet it is the fifth when viewed from another angle, that of the lesser cycles. It corresponds to the fifth period in human evolution, that in which man treads the path. The Logos is now treading the cosmic path. Page 861. The fact that the fifth spirilla is in process of awakening. This has to be effected before the interplay of energy between the egoic lotus and the etheric centers becomes so powerful as to awaken man's physical brain and cause him to become aware of the inner currents. This takes place usually when the fifth petal is organized. This whole question can also be viewed in a larger manner from the standpoint of the five Kumaras. It must be remembered that the aggregate of the etheric centers of any particular group of men form the force centers or minute energy units in the larger petals of their group center. These again form petals in some particular planetary center, and the aggregate of these petals form those larger centers of energy which we call planetary centers. These in their turn form centers of force for the Logos. Yet the mystery in connection with this is so profound that unless the student carefully guards himself from too mathematical and material a concept, he will go astray. The etheric centers of man are not on the same plane as the etheric centers of a planetary Logos. His centers are on the plane of the fourth cosmic ether, the systemic Buddhic plane, and it is only when man has taken the final initiation that his energy becomes incorporated into that of the planetary center on its own plane. The etheric centers of the planetary Logos are transmitters and transmuters of force, and bear the same relation to him as do the physical centers to a human being. All the dense physical centers, such as the mouth, for instance, are transmitters of some type of energy arising in the human brain or will. Page 862. The understanding of force transmission, and of the effects of liberated force upon the higher planes is the secret of occult knowledge. Force or energy flows in from the ego. It works through the etheric centers and produces results on the three planes, varying according to the age of the soul. As yet, through lack of alignment, this egoic force does not reach the physical brain as fully as it later will, but it does reach the astral centers and is frequently the cause of much of that lack of emotional control everywhere to be seen. The astral substance is as yet insufficiently organized, and when aroused by egoic energy, moves violently. Astral substance is played upon by two counter streams of force. First, the egoic, and secondly, that vibration set up through countless ages on the physical plane, which is latent in substance itself, and is the result of an earlier solar system. This it is which produces the violent action and reaction to be seen in every life. It is not possible to give more data concerning the unfoldment of the petals and their connection with the etheric centers. Three hints of practical import anent this stupendous subject may, however, be given, which, if duly pondered upon, may carry illumination to those who are ready. The first is that the etheric centers become active in a fourth dimensional sense, or become wheels turning upon themselves, when the aspirant has complied with certain details. He must work upon the unfoldment of the fifth and sixth petals, or the final two in the second circle, and must endeavor to bring about two things in connection with his threefold lower nature. A. He must align his three bodies so that there is a direct channel of contact formed between the ego and the physical brain. B. He must strive to bring about a stabilization of both the astral body and the mind, and must aim at that emotional equilibrium which is produced by the conscious balancing of forces. Page 863. He must study the laws of transmutation and be a student of that divine alchemy which will result in a knowledge of how to transmute the lower force into the higher, of how to transfer his consciousness into the higher vehicles, and of how to manipulate energy currents so that his own nature is transformed. He will then become a channel for the light of the ego and for the illumination of Buddhi to pour through for the saving of the race and the lighting of those who stumble in dark places. He must demonstrate the laws of radioactivity in his own life on the physical plane. His life must begin to radiate and to have a magnetic effect upon others. By this I mean he will begin to influence that which is imprisoned in others, for he will reach through his own powerful vibrations the hidden center in each one. I do not mean by this the physical or magnetic effect that many quite unevolved souls have upon others. I refer to that spiritual radiation that is only responded to and realized by those who themselves are becoming aware of the spiritual center within the heart. At this stage, the man is recognized as one who can speak occultly heart to heart. He becomes a stimulator of the heart center in his brother and one who arouses men into activity for others. The second hint is that as the aspirant becomes progressively radioactive, and as the energy of the inner God demonstrates more and more through the lower personality, the heat radiations become so powerful that very definite results are produced of a personal and also of an environmental nature. A few of these results might be enumerated as follows. Page 864. The etheric web, separating the lower physical consciousness of the brain from the astral plane, begins to undergo a lengthy process of destruction, and the first rents in the web occur. It is through these that the student becomes aware of the inner planes, becomes conscious in the physical brain of the inner happenings, and can, if a disciple, make his contacts with his ego and, via that ego, with his guru. Footnote: a guru is a spiritual teacher. Return to text. This marks a very important development. The higher head center increases its activity and becomes capable of receiving flashes of illumination from the higher planes. This happens only occasionally at first, but with increasing frequency as the years progress and the rents become more numerous. The various triangles become vivified and proceed to increased activity in due geometrical progression, whilst the center between the shoulder blades, the converging point for certain fires, becomes active. This marks a definite stage in the process of transferring the fires into the higher centers. Roughly speaking, this period of the transference of the heat or energy of the lower centers into the higher may be divided into two parts. First, that in which the centers in the lower body part of the body, those below the diaphragm, are transferred into the centers in the higher part of the torso. These centers in the torso are three in number: the heart, the throat, and the center between the shoulder blades. We must here note that the throat center is situated in the lower part of the throat and properly belongs to the torso and not to the head. It should also be stated here that the center between the shoulder blades is not a sacred center, but is of a temporary nature and is created by the aspirant himself during the process of transference. Page 865. The second stage is that in which the energy of the lower six centers, A, the throat, B, the heart, C, the solar plexus, D, the spleen, E, the organs of generation, F, the base of the spine, are in due order, according to a man's ray and subray, transferred into the correspondences within the head center. These seven head centers are the reflection in the microcosm of those mansions prepared in the heavens, which receive the sevenfold energy of the monad. These are the chambers prepared by the lower energy, which are to be the recipients of soul or the higher psychic energy. The final hint which can be given may be summed up in the words that as the aspirant progresses, he not only balances the pairs of opposites, but the secret of his brother's heart becomes revealed to him. Footnote: aspirant. The practices which make for union with the soul are fervent aspiration, spiritual reading, and complete obedience to the master. The word which I have rendered fervent aspiration means primarily fire, and in the Eastern teaching it means the fire which gives life and light, and at the same time the fire which purifies. We have therefore as our first practice, as the first of the means of spiritual growth, that fiery quality of the will, which enkindles and illumines, and at the same time the steady practice of purification, the burning away of all known impurities. Their aim is to bring soul vision and to wear away hindrances. The rules are these: purity, serenity, fervent aspiration, spiritual reading, and perfect obedience to the Master. The perfection of the powers of the bodily vesture comes through the wearing away of impurities and through fervent aspiration. From the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, Book 2, Johnson's edition. Return to text. He becomes an acknowledged force in the world and is recognized as one who can be depended upon to serve. Men turn to him for assistance and help along his recognized line, and he begins to sound forth his note so as to be heard not only in human but in deva ranks as well. This he does at this stage through the pen in literature, through the spoken word in lecturing and teaching, through music, painting, and art. He reaches the hearts of men in some way or another and becomes a helper and server of his race. Page 866. Two more characteristics of this stage might here be enumerated. The aspirant has an appreciation of the occult value of money in service. He seeks nothing for himself save that which may equip him for the work to be done, and he looks upon money and that which money can purchase as something which is to be used for others and a means to bring about the fruition of the Master's plans as he senses those plans. The occult significance of money is little appreciated, yet one of the greatest tests as to the position of a man upon the probationary path is that which concerns his attitude to and his handling of that which all men seek in order to gratify desire. Only he who desires not for himself can be a recipient of financial bounty and a dispenser of the riches of the universe. In other cases where riches increase, they bring with them naught but sorrow and distress, discontent and misuse. At this stage also, the aspirant's life becomes an instrument of destruction, in the occult sense of the term. Wherever he goes, the force which flows through him from the higher planes and from his own inner God produces at times peculiar results upon his environment. It acts as a stimulator of both the good and the evil. The lunar petries who form the bodies of his brothers and his own body are likewise stimulated. Their activity is increased and their power greatly aggravated. This fact is used by those who work on the inner side to bring about certain desired ends. This it is also which oft times temporarily causes the downfall of advanced souls. They cannot stand the force pouring into them or upon them, and through the temporary overstimulation of their centers and vehicles, they go astray. Page 867. This can be seen working out in groups as well as in individuals. But inversely, if the lunar lords of the lower self have been earlier subjugated and brought under control, then the effect of the force and energy contacted is to stimulate the response of the physical brain consciousness and the head centers to egoic contact. Then the otherwise destructive force becomes a factor for good and helpful stimulation and can be used by those who know how to lead men on to further illumination. All these stages have to work out on all the three lower planes and in the three bodies. This they do according to the particular ray and sub-ray. In this fashion, the work of the disciple is carried forward, and his testing and training carried out until the two circles of petals are unfolded and the third is organized. Thus he is brought, through right direction of energy and wise manipulation of force currents, to the portal of initiation, and graduates out of the hall of learning into the great hall of wisdom, that hall wherein he gradually becomes aware of forces and powers latent in his own ego and egoic group. Footnote: The three halls through which the soul of man must progress are spoken of in The Voice of the Silence, pages 19 and 20. First hall, hall of ignorance, infant humanity, physical plane. Second hall, hall of learning, average man, astral plane. Third hall, hall of wisdom, spiritual man, mental plane. The longest time is spent in the hall of ignorance. The later period in the hall of learning is called the probationary path. In the hall of wisdom, the initiate approaches the central mystery of being. Return to text. It is the hall wherein he gains the right to use the force of the egoic group, for he can now be trusted to wield it only for the helping of humanity. After the fourth initiation, he becomes a sharer in and can be trusted with some part of the energy of the planetary logos, and thus be enabled to carry forward the plans of that logos for evolution. Page 868. E. Initiation and the Petals. In considering the connection of the petals and their unfoldment through initiation, there is little which it is permissible to give out at this time for the information of the general public. All that is possible is to give certain statements containing A. hints as to the right direction of the energy, B. suggestions as to the basic mysteries which man has to solve, C. indications as to certain correspondences, D. practical points for constructive thinking. Students must remember that the aim of all truly occult teachers is not to give information, but to train their pupils in the use of thought energy. It will therefore be apparent why this method of instruction is the one invariably used. It is the method which involves the dropping of a hint on the part of the teacher and the correlation, perhaps, of certain correspondences coupled with a suggestion as to the sources of light. It involves, on the part of the pupil, the following recognitions. A. That the hint may be worth following. B. That meditation is the pathway to the source of light, and that the hint dropped is the seed for meditation. C. That facts, ill-assorted and uncorrelated, are menaces to knowledge and no help. D. That every aspect of truth progressively grasped has to be assimilated and welded into the experience of the student. E. That unless the correspondences agree in an atomic, personal, planetary, and cosmic fashion, they are not to be trusted. F. That much information is withheld until the student is a disciple, and still more until he is a pledged initiate. The reason for this is to be found in the fact that all knowledge concerns energy, its application, and its use or misuse. Page 869. Let us now continue with our consideration of the petals and initiation. Each of the three circles of lotus petals is closely connected with one of the three halls. This has been earlier referred to. Much of the work connected with the first tier of petals is part of the experience in the hall of ignorance. The act of organizing and preparing for unfoldment is the most important stage, and that with which man is the most concerned. The act of petal opening is of briefer duration, and is produced by the pouring in of solar heat or fire, and thus bringing about a fresh access of energy. This is produced in our Earth scheme through the cooperation of the Maha Chohan, of the Chohan of a man's egoic group, and the particular ego concerned. The following tabulation may be found helpful. 1. Knowledge petals, first circle. A. Organized in the hall of ignorance. B. Guided by the force and energy of the Maha Chohan. C. The third group of solar petries affected. 2. Love petals, second circle. A. Organized in the hall of learning. B. Guided by the force of the Bodhisattva. C. The second group of solar lords affected. 3. Will or sacrifice petals, third circle. A. Organized in the hall of wisdom. B. Guided by the force and energy of the Manu. C. The first group of solar angels affected. At the stage which we are considering, that of the organization and unfoldment of the first tier of petals, the egoic influence felt at the beginning is but small, but when the three petals become sufficiently active and alive through the energy accumulated and stored up in the ego during the activities of the personal life, a form of initiation then takes place, which is a reflection on a lower plane of the great manasic initiations. Page 870. The energy in the outer circle of petals causes it to spring apart from the next circle and to unfold. This threefold energy becomes interactive, and a very definite stage is thus reached. This series of initiations is seldom recognized within the physical brain consciousness owing to the relatively inchoate stage of the bodies and the unresponsiveness of the brain matter. Yet they are nevertheless initiations of a definite though less important character, and they involve primarily the display within the personal life of the man of an intelligent recognition of his group relationships on earth. This recognition is frequently selfish in character, as for instance that which the union worker displays, but it is indicative of group interplay. A similar process takes place when the second circle of petals is organized and ready for unfoldment. This time the world teacher, the master, and the ego concerned are cooperating, for these smaller initiations deal with the love nature, with astral or emotional organization, and with the recognition by the man in his personal life of some form of unselfish love and of a love for some object, person, or ideal which leads to altruistic endeavor and to the negation of the lower self. This brings us to the third group of petals, or to the unfolding of the will or sacrifice petals, based on intelligent purpose and pure love. The force in this group calls in a different factor, that of the Manu, as well as the force of the Bodhisattva, and the desired effect is produced through the full cooperation of the fully awakened ego, aided by his own master, if he is evolving in a cycle wherein hierarchical effort for humanity takes the form it does in this present one, and the Manu. Eventually, after the second initiation, the Lord of the world comes in as a factor, the Lord of world power, fully expressing itself in love. Page 871. Speaking generally, therefore, it might be stated that egoic groups in whom the knowledge petals are being organized and unfolded come under the primary influence of the Maha Chohan. Those in whom the love aspect or the second circle of petals is opening come under the primary influence of the Bodhisattva, with the knowledge unfoldment paralleling the work, whilst those in whom the third tier is being opened come under the energy direction of the Manu, with the two other types of force coordinated. It will be apparent to the careful reader that in this fact lies hid the secret of why the Maha Chohan holds office longer than either of his two brothers, holding it as he does for an entire world period. The key to these cycles lies hid in the following thoughts. The Bodhisattva and the Manu change more frequently and pass on to other work owing to the fact that they each embody one type of triple force, whereas the Maha Chohan is the focal point for five types of energy, each in its turn triple in nature. In each case of petal unfoldment, certain types of force are generated, dealt with, assimilated, and used, at first unconsciously and finally with full intelligence. In the Hall of Ignorance, the force of the energy of Brahma, the activity and intelligence of substance, is that mostly dealt with, and the man has to learn the meaning of activity based on A. inherent energy, B. absorbed energy, C. group energy, D. material energy, or that which is hidden in physical plane matter. In the Hall of Learning, the disciple becomes aware of and uses the energy of the second aspect in form building, in social relations, in family and other group affiliations. Page 872. He comes to the true recognition of sex and its relations, but as yet views this force as something to be controlled and not something to be consciously and constructively utilized. In the Hall of Wisdom, the initiate comes to the knowledge of the first great aspect of energy, the dynamic use of will in sacrifice, and to him is then committed the key to the threefold mystery of energy. Of this energy, in its threefold aspect, he became aware in the other two halls. At the third, fourth, and fifth initiations, the three keys to the three mysteries are given to him. The key to the mystery sensed in the first hall, the mystery of Brahma, is handed to him, and he can then unlock the hidden energies of atomic substance. The key to the mystery of sex, or of the pairs of opposites, is thrust into his hand, and he can then unlock the hidden forces within all forms. The key to the mystery of sacrifice and to the secret of the silent watchers in the cosmos is revealed to him, and he learns to unlock the hidden energies of the will aspect. The dynamo of the solar system is shown to him, if it might so be expressed, and the intricacies of its mechanism revealed. End of side 2, cassette number 20, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 872. Continued on cassette number 21.